Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am your host, Dr. Tan, with I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast of Tana Ministries. I wanted to come on tonight and just give you some inspirational nuggets to take you through this upcoming week. And so the podcast tonight will be entitled, Yield Not to Temptation. Again, the podcast will be entitled, Yield Not to Temptation. When we think about temptation, we often think about a very familiar story in the Bible with Adam and Eve. And so we understand that the serpent tempted Adam and Eve. In other words, the serpent tempted Eve. And so she took upon the temptation and she shared that temptation with Eve. And so we often think about that. But when you just thinking about temptation in our lives, we understand that temptation is an enticement or an invitation to sin against God's word. And, you know, we have to also understand that temptation oppresses our faith and it derails our joy. It also uproots our hope. And so when we think about temptation, we want to be mindful of that because we don't want to fall into temptation. It is so easy to do. And so there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13, and it reads, there hath no temptation taken to you, but such as coming to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So in other words, it's saying that there is no temptation that you will encounter that God has not provided a way of escape. That is 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And so what does that mean for us when we talk about temptation in our lives and how it looks? The Bible tells us that, you know, when we think about temptation, the Bible tells us that we can be angry, but sin not. And so there's a lot of things that when we look at it, you know, the action is the sin. When you indulge in something that goes against God's will, that is the sin. So anger is an emotion. If we can contain the anger, if we can contain our emotion and not sin or not react on the anger, then we have done what God has expected us to do. And so the same thing happens with temptation. And temptation often stems from unresolved issues or desires. They have remained dormant until something or someone offers an invitation. And normally, you know, we have three types of temptations. You got your internal desires, things that you want to do, things that you might have lustful desires, things, you know, and then you have worldly influences, and so we'll talk about that. And then you have Satan's attack. And so I want to talk about three types of temptations and so that we can be aware that they can happen. You know, our own mindset, we have to renew our minds every day. We have to yield our minds, deny ourselves to and put God first so that our mind will be stayed on him and not ourselves. Because what happens is scripture also tells us that you can't serve two masters. You hate one and love the other. And what ends up showing who we serve is how we act. And that also goes along with the temptations. Like every sin that is mentioned in the Bible, every sin that we have encountered in our lives have been the result of a temptation to react based on whatever the circumstance or the emotion at that particular time. And so again, we're talking about yield not to temptation. Yield not to temptation. When we think about eternal desires, we think about self-gratification. That's temporary pleasure. And normally the temporary pleasure leads to permanent pain. And, you know, from the permanent pain that leaves the residue from all the sinful encounters that we have engaged in, and that can be overwhelming. So, for example, relationships or situationships, whatever you want to call it, work relationships, friendships, oftentimes a lot of residue comes from relationships. And so let me give you an example of temptation. Let's just say that there was a relationship, or you were in a relationship, or someone you knew was in a relationship, and the relationship didn't work out. And for whatever reason, you realized that the person that you were in the relationship with was not the person that was best for you, for whatever reason. It could be that that person wasn't honest. Maybe that person was still talking to other people. Maybe that person was stringing you along. Maybe that person really didn't have your best interest at heart, and they really did not want a relationship with you. They just wanted to get the benefits from being in your presence without having a relationship with you that was honest. And so for whatever situation, all of us have been in relationships or friendships or work relationships where they were not built on the foundation of trust, of honesty, integrity, and it left some painful residue behind. So let's just say that God provided a way of escape. He delivered you from this relationship. He delivered you from the abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. He delivered you from out of the situation where you felt you were in bondage, you were entrapped, you were entangled, he broke every chain that was bounding you, that was holding you back. And you were delivered. You were set free. Scripture tells us that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so God, the Holy Spirit, gave you the wisdom and knowledge of how to navigate through those uncharted territories, and you were freed, delivered from that situation. Now, after months, maybe weeks, not sure, sometimes temptation revisits us quickly. You see that person, or maybe the person calls you. And we often think that because, oh, the person called and they're being nice, that they're changed. The only change that you can see is a changed behavior. You have to understand that just because a person tells you that they have changed does not mean that they have changed. If you don't see it in action, it didn't happen. And so we have to understand that change, a changed behavior, is what you want to see. But for whatever reason, the person calls and you go back to talking with the person that God delivered you from. Temptation was when the person called. Maybe there was a soul tie. Maybe there was some type of trauma bond that connected you. And so in those situations, you have to ask God to help you to disconnect you from that trauma bond, to sever the ties of the soul tie. Because if not, then that painful residue, that connection will always lead you back into temptation. And that which God has delivered you from, you'll find yourself going back to. And so it's important that when we feel that we are tempted, and in any way, we have to pray. We have to ask God to give us the strength to withstand the temptation, to help us with this particular area in our life, so that we, because he said that he would not allow us to be tempted more than we can bear, but that he has provided a way of escape. And so he's telling us there's nothing that we can encounter that he can't provide a way of escape. And so in that situation, self-gratification, it made us feel good because the person called. So we felt like, oh, they're thinking about us. Could not even been the case. The person could have just been calling just because they didn't have anything else to do. Or the person could have been calling because maybe they wanted, you know, to hang out with you for whatever reason. Remember me saying that sometimes people connect with you because the benefits of connecting with you is greater for them, even though you're not reaping any other benefits. And so maybe that's why they hooked up with you. You have some people that are in situationships, they're in and out of the situation. And then when certain times of the year come around, Christmas, birthdays, holidays, then here comes the temptation again, because they know that, hey, maybe during this time of the year, or maybe during these particular times, it was a benefit for me to be connected to this person. So you have to look at the temptation for what it is. I'm a firm believer that if you're in a relationship, or you were in a relationship, or you're struggling with a relationship or a situation where you're not sure that you're being valued and treated the way God has wants all of us to be treated, then you have to look at a few things. Number one, do you value yourself more than someone else? And if you value yourself, then you would uphold the standard that God has set for us, that we are his children, and that we are beautifully and wonderfully made according to scripture, that he loves us beyond bounds. He wants the best for us, and he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us, according to Jeremiah 29:11. And so you have to ask yourself, do I love myself more than this person? Do I respect myself? And do I believe that I am who God says I am? Because if that's the case, then when you have people that come into your life that maybe, you know, in relationships, maybe God didn't send them, maybe you chose them, that God can give you some direction so that whoever he has for you, he can put them in your path. But one thing about God is he won't put anyone in your path. He won't connect you with what he has for you if you still have your hand full of things or people that he wants you to disconnect from. So the temptation is loneliness is a temptation, because maybe even though the person is not treating you right or hasn't treated you right, the fact that you were not lonely all the time, you had some of their attention some of the time, you think that that's better than being lonely all the time. But I'm going to tell you, that's a sacrifice that you're making. Temptation is temporary. The satisfaction is temporary, but the pain is permanent. And so you have to ask yourself, you have to weigh your options. You got to look at the pros and cons of your actions. Is it worth it? Is it worth getting back in a situation that didn't yield any positive fruit? And most of the times when we go back to revisit these situations, relationships, it yields the same results. Sometimes the results are worse. And so we're going back and forth. It's like going in a circle, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. But it's not going to happen until you change the way you react to temptation. And so relationships are a big part of temptation because our hearts are entangled in the situation, or our hearts are entangled in a lustful connection that's not yielding any positive fruit. It's not yielding, it's yielding pain and hurt. You know, it talks about love in Corinthians, of what love is. And so I want to read that for you here. It talks about what love is, and this is as it relates to relationships. So if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. I'm sorry, I'm saying chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, I apologize for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 4. It says, love suffer, and the KG version uses charity as opposed to love. But it says, charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things. Believe all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Charity never fails. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8. Love is shown. It is not told. You can tell me that you love me, but if you don't show me, it doesn't mean a thing. You can show me that you love me, even if you don't tell me, I can see that you love me. And so when it comes to temptation, temptation is not going to be lustful. It's going to be genuine. Temptation is not going to lead you to distress. It's not going to lead you astray. If it's of God, temptation will do that, though. Temptation will lead you. Love leads you toward God. Temptation leads you away. And so temptation is going to cause distress. It's going to cause you to be depressed. And it's going to cause all these different things to happen in your life that are negative influences, negative impacts, because temptation is temporary. The second type of temptation is worldly influences. And so we think about worldly influences like materialism. You know, people comparing themselves to one another, their houses, cars, their jobs, titles, educational background, money. And so it becomes, and you see it, it's very prevalent on social media and even on other news, on the news outlets. You see all these negative portrayal of different things, but social media has really become a platform for people to kind of boast of their, of what they have. And not everybody is boasting and prideful, but you know, you can see it being prevalent where people, it's like a competition in some sorts. It sometimes provokes people to act a certain way. And again, let me say, not everybody is doing that, but just in general, you see that happening. it is like a showcase of, you know, what this is. Hey, look at what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is, and what happens is from that, it produces jealousy and envy. You have people trying to keep up with the Joneses. Everybody wants to be in the know. Now you got, you know, this is what's happening, and it puts a certain, shines a certain spotlight on things in the culture, things that are in now, as opposed to things that are out. So this is what's popular. This is what's not. And so then it can also cause pride to rise up. And it can also cause peer pressure, because now you're trying to fit in a place or a space that God has not created for you to fit in. I'm a firm believer that God has made all of us unique. We know that, because no one person has the same fingerprints. Every last person has a different fingerprint. It is unique to that person. And I believe for that reason, God has made us all individuals unique with the gift and talents that he has bestowed upon us for a particular purpose to uplift his kingdom. And because of that, he doesn't mean for us to fit in. He means for us to stand out. And so that the worldly influences sometimes can kind of put us all in a box, or try to put us all in one group, try to connect us based on things that maybe we like. And the problem with that is you have to be very careful, because sometimes those worldly influences will get you caught up in things that you're not used to. So let me give you an example. Let's just say that you are at work and you normally go to the break room. You go into the break room, you got this group of people, and they're always talking about other people. The thing happens where it is possible that you could get caught up in the gossip. And that's not who you are, because you walked into the break room, and so you made maybe one comment about something that maybe wasn't gossip, but then you stayed longer, and then the conversation shifted to gossiping and talking about people. So now you have become a part of that particular conversation. Worldly influence, peer pressure, the pressure to feel like you have to respond and say something. And instead of saying, you know what, I don't gossip. I don't want to talk about somebody behind their back. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to just get my food and I'm going to go somewhere else, or I'm going to go to a different table and I'm going to mind my business. But peer pressure will have you interacting. And so the thing is, when it comes to in that particular scenario, when it comes to that, understand that if they talk about them with you, they're going to talk about you when you're not with them. That's just how it goes. So the gossiping, you know, not engage in it. Another thing would be, let's just say that maybe you had struggled with drinking for a long time. Temptation has its way of coming up, especially when you're striving to do right. You're trying to live right. You're changing for the better. Temptation is going to rear its ugly head, because the enemy doesn't want to see you winning. Of course, he's going to have his little minions on assignment to try to entice you with things that he know that you will grab at. That's his job. He knows that if you have completely overcome it, he can't entice you with it. So he's not going to present it. So let me give you an example. Let's just say that you had struggled with alcoholism for a while, and now you're sober for like the last 7 or 8 years. And so the enemy knows that, hey, I can't tempt her. I can't tempt him with this, because he's proven, or she's proven time after time again, she doesn't go anywhere that they're drinking. They refrain from going to any function where there's alcohol. In other words, they are resisting the devil. James 4 and 7 says, if you resist the enemy, he'll flee. So that's what they're doing. They're resisting it. They're saying, I'm not going to even put myself in that position to be tempted because I'm not going to go. I'm not going anywhere where they're drinking heavily because I know I struggle with alcohol. That's resisting the enemy. That's how you resist the devil and he'll flee because you didn't put yourself in a position. But let's just say that on the flip side of that, you struggle with alcoholism and somebody invites you to a party and it's a birthday party, one of your friends, and they have all these drinks and everybody there is drinking and they come up to you and say, hey, man, just take one drink. Now, you know, and when you used to drink, you could, you know, it might have took you four or five drinks to have you out of control. And so in your mind, because you don't want them to be like, oh, you know, he's soft or she's soft. She's a party pooper. He's a party pooper. He doesn't want to drink. She doesn't want to drink. So, you know, they lame or whatever. So you decide to yield to temptation. And after you take that one drink, now you're spiraling into that addiction that God had delivered you from. It's easy, you know, and it's very easy to fall into temptation because we are weak by ourselves, but we are strong with God's help. And if we think that we can resist the enemy on our own, then we are sadly mistaken. The Bible says that we deceive ourselves when we, you know, we feel like we can do it by ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We can't do anything without him, without God's help. Without him, it's impossible. Without him, we're nothing. Nothing that we, you know, we wouldn't have what we have. We wouldn't be where we are. Thank God that we are better than we used to be. But a lot of people get confused about the temptation, thinking that they can control it. I can control myself. I know my limits. I know what I can do. You really and truly, you can't. Without God's help. And so we have to be mindful of that because even our entertainment that we embrace has negative and influences. It has temptations in it. Now, the entertainment, the movies and the things that they have are so perverted in nature that it is forcing things upon us as a society that we know are wrong. But because they put it in the movies, because they put it on the TV shows, because it's in the lyrics, they're trying to make it be okay. So they just feel like if we just keep putting it out there, we just keep putting it out there and keep showing and keep putting it out, you're going to eventually give in. You're going to accept the fact that, you know, even though it might be wrong in God's eyes, but this is what society is doing. This is what the world is doing. And so you just give in to it. And that's what the hope is. It's wrong, but we're going to make it right because we like it. And this is what we want to do. But you have to be careful. You have to be mindful because just because everybody is doing it doesn't make it right. I said that one time before. And just because nobody is doing it doesn't mean it's wrong. We have to remember that, the pathway is straight and narrow. But the world's pathway is wide. So many people on that road. There's only a few that is traveling on a straight and narrow path. We have to choose every day which path we want to walk on because temptations are everywhere. The enemy, it's not going to send a temptation to you that he knows that you can overcome, that doesn't affect you, that won't pull you in to his tactics. Remember, John 10:10 says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I have come. In other words, God says, I'm here so that I can help you to resist the temptation. I'm here to provide a way of escape for you so that you don't have to fall into the temptation of the devil to get you off track. Because ultimately, he just wants to see you defeated. He wants to see you become the victim and not the victor. He likes to see you in mess. He doesn't want you to prevail. He wants you to think that you have no power. And he wants to fizzle out your faith. This is his MO. And so what does he do? Every day we're tempted. Every day. Some temptations we have overcome. Some temptations we are getting better at. And it will be some temptations or some strongholds that we encounter that we might not ever overcome them totally. But as long as we stay in God's presence, as long as we hold on to his unchanging hand, we can overcome any temptation that is sent our way. This is part of Satan's attack. This is what Satan does. You ever thought about something? I'm going to try to think of an example, a good example. It could be with anything. Nothing comes off the top of my head, but just think about some of the things that you've overcome. And then out of the blue, those same temptations that you have overcome, that God has delivered you from, starts to creep back into your life. That's the enemy trying to see if you'll take the bait. You know, he's not going to send you a bait that does not entice you. Whatever bait he sends you is going to be enticing. And you're going to think that it's the best thing since sliced bread. That's what he does. He's very crafty. He knows exactly what you want. He knows what you desire, the lustful nature that you have, and he plays to that. But what we have to learn to do is to pray and ask God's ask God's divine wisdom to fall upon us so we can discern what's from God. And one of the ways we do that is by studying his word. Scripture says to study to show thyself approved. We have to study the word so we'll know what it says for ourselves. And then we can put the word to the test, which means that if he says it, then it settles it. So whatever God's word says, whatever his promises are, Scripture says that it has to happen. Said his word will not return unto him void. And so we know that. Tells us that in Isaiah. And we know that that's the truth. Because whatever he says, it's going to happen. We've seen it time after time in the Bible. We've seen it time after time in our lives. The promises of God override any temptation that the enemy can throw our way. And so we've talked about the internal desires. We're talking about worldly influences. And then, you know, Satan's attack. And the attack, his whole purpose of the attack is to, like I said, is to get you off focus. He can see what God has. He knows God has great things for you, like all these blessings, abundant blessings, unlimited favor, divine protection, generational blessings for your children and your children's children. He sees that everybody that is connected to you will be blessed. The Abraham anointing, that everybody connected to you will be blessed. Even when you went through some painful things, when you've been betrayed, the Joseph anointing, where you could still bless your enemies and be able to help them. even if they are relatives, whatever the case may be. And so the enemy sees this. And so Satan's attack is very strategic. In Matthew 4, I want to read it, where it talks about Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. And so I'm going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And it reads, "Then was Jesus led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to me be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of temple and said unto him, You know, the pinnacle is the top. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written that he should give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands that they should bear thee up, lest any time they dash thy foot against a stone." Now, did you hear that? The devil or Satan knows scripture too. And what he does is perverts it to fit his agenda. He says that God will give him his angels charge concerning thee. We've talked about we know that to be true, that the enemy, that the angels will disperse to take care of us. Psalms 91. So the enemy is using the word. He's corrupting the word. He's changing to fit his agenda to tempt Jesus. Jesus said unto him, It is written again that thou should not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. He told him to get thee behind me, Satan. Now, how in the world can the devil give you all these things when he was cast out? But if you're not reading your word, you wouldn't know. And what Jesus did was put the word back on them. He quoted the word of God. He says, the first time he told him that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He's standing on the promises of God. And so the enemy knows that if he can keep you from reading the word, if he can keep you from praying, if he can keep you from spending time with God in your quiet place, if he can keep you from going to church, Bible study, Sunday school, you know, different functions where the presence of God is prevalent, then he can contain you in his box. Because when you start to quote the word of God over your life, and you start to stand on the word, and you start to live out the word, then the enemy has a problem. So he's going to continue to tempt you daily, send all these smoke screens to you. And that's why the Bible tells you in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. You got to pray about everything all the time. It also tells you to watch as well as pray, because you can't, everything that looks good is not good for you. I mean, cakes look good, delicious, chocolate cookies and donuts. They look good. They look delicious. They taste delicious too. But we know that eating too many sweets can wreak havoc on our immune system. It could be detrimental to our health. Now, broccoli and asparagus don't look as good as the cake, cookies, and the cupcakes and donuts, but it's better for us. Might not taste as good, but it's still better for us. And so we have to understand that you can't look at someone to determine if God is the head of their life. You got to try the spirit by the spirit. You got to watch as well as pray. You got to look at their fruit. Look at how they walk. Now, nobody is perfect, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, according to Romans. But at the same time, to try to live upright means that every day you deny yourself and you try to do the right thing. And when you feel like you're being tempted, you call on the Lord to help you through the temptation. And in so many instances where we are tempted, on your job, you're tempted. People are mistreating you, talking behind your back, nitpicking with you. You might be tempted to get out of character with them. But thanks be unto God that he provides a way of escape, because he says, you know what? Be still and know that I am thy God. He says he'll take care of the people that are messing with you. He'll trouble your trouble. You might be tempted to not be honest when you are doing an assignment or maybe helping somebody. You might be tempted to be dishonest in some type of way. But thanks be unto God that you realize that your word is your bond, and that even if the people don't know that you are being dishonest, God knows. Because integrity is doing the right thing even when no one else is watching. You might be tempted to treat somebody the same way they treat you. And that's understandable, you know, when you feel like, oh, this is all the time, so I'm going to just treat them the same way. And it's understandable that you would feel that way. Doesn't make it right, though. But thanks be unto God that he gives you the strength to treat people right, even when they mistreat you. Matthew tells us that he wants you to love your enemies, do good to those that despitefully misuse you. Because what happens is that heaps hot coals over their head. They mistreating you, wanting you to act like them because they miserable. You treating them the way God wants you to treat them, and they still miserable. You know why? Because they can't understand it. That's a temptation. Yield not to the temptation. That's a temptation for the enemy. I'm going to see how many times you can turn the other cheek and you can treat people right that's mistreating you. You have to understand that people that are doing on assignment for the enemy, they can't take anything away from you. They can't block it. They can't stop it. What God has for you is for you. They're just on assignment to get you distracted and to get your eyes off the prize of the high calling. You know, you got to press toward the mark. And they don't want you pressing toward the mark. They want you to take your eyes. It says, he will keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. He'll keep you in perfect peace whose eye is stayed on him. And so what they want to do is get your eyes off of Christ so you can focus on the crisis. And then if you start focusing on everything that's happening all around you, then all that negativity, all that evilness, all that lustfulness, that sinful nature, the temptation gets on the inside of you. But you can't let that happen. But that's what the enemy wants. So you have to yield not to temptation. And I'm not telling you that it's going to be easy, because it's not. You have to deny your flesh daily. Take up your cross daily. Ask God to help you daily. It's a daily journey. Because temptation is real, but so is our God. And so yield not to temptation. When you find yourself in your most vulnerable situations, and that's when the enemy likes to tap in the most. He likes to be right there on standby when you're at your most vulnerable moment. Here he comes. But you can do it. You have the power of God on the inside of you, and you can do it. He says that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the power to tread over serpents, to speak to mountains. You have the power. He's given it to you to speak life over yourself, over your situation. Even when you're tempted, to ask him to give you the strength to go through, to grow through that particular circumstance. Or because it's an opportunity to show that God is still on the throne. It's an opportunity to show that God is the head of your life. It's an opportunity to show that the light that's on the inside of you cannot be hidden, because you're going to let your light shine. Yield not to temptation. In this world, we're going to have many, many different problems. Talks about it in John, but he says, you know, be a good carriage. We're going to have many things that's going to happen. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, but be of good carriage, because he's overcome the world. We ain't even got to worry about it. Because guess what? He's provided a way of escape. He's already, the victory has already been won. It's a fixed fight. We've already been deemed victorious, but we have to walk our journey, our tailor-made journey by faith to get to the victory. Yield not to temptation. It's easy to get caught up in the world, but I dare you to stand bold on his word. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight to yield not to temptation. God is a good God. He's an awesome God, and he's worthy to be praised. I pray that you have a blessed week and that you yield not to temptation, but that when temptation comes to knock at your door, that you will ask God to give you the strength to endure, to go through, to grow through. Pray without ceasing and resist the enemy, and he will flee. God bless and be encouraged until we speak again. Good night.